In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Welcome back to part two of our two-part series on stubbornness and resiliency. We are so excited to dive back into the second part of this series, because in this part, we're going to look at some of the positive aspects of being stubborn and where it actually serves us, as well as dive into some tools and resources that you can apply to your life if you find yourself in a situation where you may be a little bit stubborn, how you can navigate through it, grow from it, and truly experience resiliency. We hope you enjoy.
I think stubbornness can cause increased conflict. And this has to do with when you're interacting with other people and you're stubborn in your beliefs.
Yes.
I think it really can cause more tension and conflict in relationships. I know that during the last election, there were so many people that I would witness on Facebook that were just in these heated, horrible conversations. I know people now that are no longer friends with people because of it, and because they were locked into their specific beliefs, never wanting to get curious about maybe somebody else's opinion or doing a little more research to figure out what was going on, right or wrong. It doesn't matter what side you're on. We tend to get very stubborn, and then we end up losing friends and limiting time with people because we don't want to be in those relationships where there's high tension. So I think that's a huge one. And for me, that just completely drains me, my energy. 100%. When I am around those other people that just are just so set in their belief systems that they're not open to have it, even just having a conversation.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is that you know that they're wholeheartedly just being stubborn. They won't see it as that, but they are wholeheartedly just being stubborn, especially if you won't explore the opportunity to seek information, learn more, that empathy that we talk about. Like, maybe the other person that you're having a conversation with had a different life journey, and there's something different for them that they're looking for in an elected official or a politician that you didn't experience. And so unless you open yourself up to having that level of empathy and understanding of other people's perspectives, you truly are just sitting in that place of stubbornness. And quick newsflash, it's okay to have two people that have differing opinions, 100%. But still have respect for one another. 100%. Like, you can absolutely, and still have a friendship, right?
You still have a friendship.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember a day when you used to be able to talk to people about things like this.
Yeah.
And people were willing to at least listen to somebody else's point of view. And and my belief system has always been, like you said, we have all had our own journey. We've all had own experiences through work, how we were raised, throughout our lives. So to tell somebody that what they believe is wrong because it's not the same as what I believe is basically telling them that, you know what, everything you've experienced up to this point doesn't matter.
Invalidated.
It's totally invalidated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to go over well.
No.
So what if we just seek to understand, well, tell me about your journey. What's gotten you? What is it about this person that you admire, that you respect, that is wanting you to vote? If we lived in a world like that, elections would be a far different thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Everything would operate differently, right? I feel that there would be so many elements of our lives that would look completely different. And it's, I mean, we're talking about preference and meal, how you operate and show up in your business. And we've seen like a complete cultural reset coming out of the pandemic. I was a definite diehard office working person. I have and always have been a person that goes into the office. I am more efficient. I am more productive when I go into the office. I didn't have an option during the pandemic, right? When looking at that piece of it. And I always said, I can't work from home or home office space because I'll get distracted by the other things that are on my household to-do list. Here's the thing. Looking for additional information, I had to go through the process of reprogramming. Like, what I believe to be true for me, even myself. No one else had any impact in terms of this decision that I made. But for me, myself, I had to reflect and say, okay, if I truly work from home, do I have the discipline to stay in my office focused on my work during these hours? And so the challenge was not that I was not productive and efficient when working from home. I just didn't create a process that made me disciplined or create the habits that gave me the discipline that I need to work from a home office space. Yeah. So since the pandemic, I've now worked from a home office space, right? Yeah. And so making that shift to go back into the office, it's going to take some exploration and reprocessing to get there.
Totally. I mean, I'm on the exact same boat. I was there every morning. I was there, like, I could never imagine having worked from home. And then you and I, we're both forced to do it. And so it's like, okay. But what I learned with that being forced to do it, I got time back in my life because I wasn't having to drive and commute. And so I could be focused at home. And oh, by the way, all of the people that would just stop by your office, hey, how's it going? Do you have a minute? It was like all the gotta minutes that people wanted to chit chat. I was like, oh my gosh, at home, I come upstairs to my office and there's nobody distracting me, but I've created a new environment because we were forced to do it.
Exactly.
And sometimes when you're forced to do something, you can either just say, and we had people do that. I know people that did it during the pandemic. Fine, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do anything.
Which is a different approach. We didn't have the option.
That stubbornness. Well, if I can't go to the office and I'm not doing it, I'm not working. We were like, all right, let's adapt.
Exactly.
And it's that not being that resistant to change. It was like, we came in and we said, okay, this is our new normal. Yeah. Let's adapt to it and try to be the best at this new situation that we possibly can. And for me, it's just kind of the way it is.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Well, total confession though, Pam, if we weren't forced to do it in the pandemic, I think I am totally stubborn in the fact that I only wanted to work in an office space. I would not have even explored setting up a home office if it weren't for the pandemic.
100%.
Yeah. So sometimes external factors are going to influence the decision or at least your opportunity. Yes. Because even though I say that I set up a home office and started working from home, I still know agents that found a way to get into their office spaces. And still work, and business owners alike. They still went into the office, and however they were able to structure that so that they were able to get into that space, that's when we explore that. Are you truly just being stubborn? Or maybe you just don't have another option, right? If there are no other options.
Yeah. And I had agents that were at our office that had little kids at home.
Yeah.
And I get it. If you don't have like a designated office space and you've got little kids running around, no way you're going to be efficient. So absolutely in that season, it doesn't work for me in my season and you in your season. It totally worked. We're like, yeah, we totally can do this. We totally can do this and be just as efficient. And I don't know that we would have created this podcast.
No, I don't know. Exactly. Yeah. Well, who knows? I'd have been in my office and you would have been in yours.
Yeah.
So that goes to like
with those bad lighting and sound and all that stuff.
Oh my goodness. Yes, we would have had the challenges in our own workspace.
Yes, I love it. All right, well, let's talk about some of the positives because there are some positives to stubbornness. So all of you that have been listening and are like, gosh, it's all negative about being stubborn. No, there are actually some positives. So let's talk about some of those. And I think one of the biggest one is our stubbornness and our conviction to accomplish something. When we set a goal for ourselves and we come across a difficult event or something, circumstance that happens, and we're like, you know what? No, I'm going to be stubborn in this goal and what I want to achieve. And I'm going to be stubborn in not allowing some of these distractions to take me off that course.
Yeah.
So, and that's not resilience. That is true stubbornness. Like, nope, I'm sticking to the schedule. I'm doing these habits because this goal is important to me. And I'm all of this noise and difficult situations, I'm going to overcome them.
Absolutely. I think that you can even see that in your behavior. The thing that pops up for me, if you are part of a family or live in a home with other people, and let's just say the family tradition is that you have dinner together or you have dinner around the television and you have your, what is it, early evening entertainment that comes on television, whatever it is, that's like that 7 o'clock hour. Yes. And that's something that you do as a family, right? So that may be a family tradition, but you are also trying to launch a new business, write a book, meditate more, get into the gym and work out. And it also happens to fall over that same time slot. Those are the opportunities that you may explore looking at being stubborn, because it has to be stubborn for yourself. That is stubbornness. That is also ego coming in, because that is something that's important to you when you're working to achieve that goal. Because the reality is, no one is going to work as hard towards accomplishing your personal goals as you are. Yeah. So those are the opportunities where you truly have to sit down and say, in this moment, I have to be stubborn and it's going to last for this season. Or I'm making this intentional choice. I know what the options are, but I'm making this choice for myself in those moments.
And sometimes that heart is hard when you've got peer pressure. Yeah. I know that when I was training for the half marathon, and I think you can attest to this, we're on a training schedule. And it's like you had to be stubborn in the amount of training you did every week and not allow other things to come in. I have to be stubborn with, if I've got early appointments, I know that this is my cutoff time. Like I'm not doing that because I've got a commitment in the morning. And so be stubborn in those convictions. And I think that's the strong sense of self and our convictions and our core values and what are important to us. I think that is something that we want to be stubborn in, as long as they're healthy. And I think the core values thing, when I was thinking about that as far as stubbornness, that's why I left a company, because they were no longer in alignment with my core values. Mm-hmm. I could have very easily just stayed, but I was stubborn in my conviction to my core values, because they were that important to me that I'm like, I can't be in an organization that directly goes against what my core values are. And so I think, again, that's another place of stubbornness is a valid place to service its head.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're exploring stubbornness from the positive piece, right? That's where you want to make sure the initial check, is it harmful to you? Is it harmful to others? Mm-hmm. And when we say looking for information or validation, like you have to look for the facts, right? So if we go back to the beer example of the individual that has a beer every evening, is it harmful to you? Is it harmful to others? Like on the surface, your belief may be, it is not harmful to me at all. But if you do some additional investigation and research and figure out, okay, well, maybe it's doing a little bit of damage to my liver that I'm not thinking about. And who really knows the full health of their liver until it's not healthy any longer, right? So like going through and truly like looking for information. And if still after looking for that, doing the research and looking for that information, you feel that strong conviction, then great, carry on with that. But you want to make sure it's not harmful to you and it's not harmful to other people.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah. And I talked a little bit about it, but that resistance to peer pressure. And we've talked about this. If you decide that for a month you want to give up drinking, and you share this with your friends, and you all go out and you're in a situation where there's peer pressure to drink, is being stubborn in that conviction. It's like, you know what? No, this is a commitment I made to myself, and I'm going to be stubborn in this conviction and not allow that to creep in. And so I think that's a hard one, being resistant to peer pressure. You know, I think it could be too, if we're talking in the political realm again, if you're surrounded by people that have a specific belief and you start to be more curious about the other beliefs and you want to start bringing that back, and they start berating you, you may want to think about, don't go right back to what you believed before, because, well, this is what all my friends believe. Yeah. You might want to think about that. You know, are you the type of person that wants to be curious and see both sides? Or do you want to be stubborn in this conviction that's going to keep you stuck in a place of negativity or whatever it is? Because I've not seen positive on either side of the political realm when people are in their convictions.
Yes.
It's mostly negative.
Yes.
And so figure it out. Figure it out.
It usually comes from a place of attack, right? Like it's absolutely. Well, I'm standing strong in this, and anyways,
100%.
I'm right, you're wrong. So exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I know that one of our past guests actually experienced this. If you go back and listen to the Journey to Sobriety with Natalie Gold, we're in holiday season here in the US, and which is about a 12-week time frame that's filled with 14 holidays or something. So I call it holiday season.
Yes.
And so she shared on her social media platform a few weeks ago that she's still victorious in her journey and path to sobriety, and had a holiday experience with family members, and had to remind her family members on numerous occasions that she did not drink. And she received a lot of backlash and judgment and pushback, and a lot of, well, are you still doing that? And she's like, yeah, this is me. This is who I am.
This is my lifestyle now.
This is my life. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think that when you are choosing to explore the positive in stubbornness, that you often have to go back and reflect on your tribe as well, and not saying anything against family members. But when you're looking at friends, family, loved ones that you're connecting with, maybe you have to be more selective in when you're experiencing celebrations with them, or even the time spent with them, what you're going to invest in, if it's going to challenge one of the convictions that you truly explored the positive and negative around. Because if it's going to put you in a space where you feel attacked, you're emotionally drained, you're having to have resistance or become confrontational to defend the position that you've taken or plan of action that you've decided to follow through on, the people that you surround yourself with, you probably need to do some reflection and exploration on, is it the right person at the right time? And is there a different time can you connect with them?
Yeah. I think that's so powerful. Absolutely. All right. Well, how do we help people identify stubbornness and overcome it? So, and when we say stubbornness, we mean the negative stubbornness that creeps in and keeps us stuck. Like, what are some of the things that we can do to kind of overcome that? Because I think we always want people to leave these with a way to overcome. And so if you're listening so far and you're like, ooh, I might be stubborn. well, let's help you. Let's give you some ways that you can overcome it.
Absolutely. Well, and here's the thing. Like, if you're listening and you hear stubbornness and you get like a zing or a download, or you're like, oh, I don't ever want to be stubborn. I don't want to be that person. Here's what I would first ask you to do. Do that reflection to see the positive in stubbornness and how it can show up in your life. Because there are many opportunities, like we said, where you have to be stubborn. You have to stand strong in that piece of it. And then take it a step further. Like, why are you getting that emotional pull when you think about stubbornness? And for me, like, I think about stubbornness and I feel icky and gross about it. I don't want to be stubborn. And I don't want to believe that other people see me as being a person that's stubborn, because I don't think that that's truly how I am or how I choose to show up. Like, I'm very inquisitive. I want to learn more. I want to continue to grow. But again, what put me in that space that I have such a negative emotional pull to it? And then how can I work through and identify opportunities in my life where I chose to be stubborn, and then the benefit that it gave me. So if you are looking at, like, you truly are stubborn, right? It's not the light side of it. It's not the positive. I think, especially if other people are involved, like if there are relationships involved, professional, personal relationships, communication is key. I just had a conversation with someone today and I said, you know, there's nothing that communication can't solve. And so if the two people that have a difference of opinion can't sit down and have a conversation to truly express their standpoint, how it has impacted them emotionally, the experiential piece of that, if two or more individuals can't sit down and talk about that piece of it, then the entire relationship, I think, is like challenged, both professional and personal. Like you said, when you're a leader and everybody's like, you're doing great, and at the water cooler, you are not anyone's friend.
Yes.
Communication is probably the key that's going to bring all of that back together.
Yeah, I love that. That takes me back to, was it Antoinette that talked about the journal about our triggers?
Yes.
That could be something that could be beneficial with this, because if you think about, oftentimes there's a pattern to what, where, and when we are stubborn in our lives. And so maybe identifying, why am I being so like dug in right now in this situation? And like you said, maybe doing a little reflecting and looking back at past experiences to see, okay, what has caused me to be stubborn in this thing? Yeah. And what was it a specific event? Was it an experience? Was it how I was raised? Like, what is it that's gotten me to this place? I think journaling about it so that we can identify it can help us then when we get to that space, we're like, ooh, this is one of those triggers. I typically am very stubborn here. What if I came from a place of curiosity instead?
Yes.
I think that could be a really cool tool. And I don't remember when we, Antoinette was the week of Thanksgiving, I think we aired that. One of my favorite episodes, but I think that might be a really good space. I think for us being coaches, one of the things that we do, it's just part of what we do, is the active listening piece. I think that is such an important part of any place where we want to get over stubbornness, because oftentimes what happens is, because it's just like a child. Think of a child having a tantrum and you're trying to reason with them. They are not listening in any way. And that's what happens when we get into this place of stubbornness. We're like, no, I'm not listening to what you're saying. So if we can, anytime we're feeling that, if we can just say, all right, how do I get curious here? How can I have active listening? Listen to what they're saying and then get clarity. You know, you said this. Can you tell me more about that? Ask for information and have that active listening. I think that's really important. And of course, you got to set your ego aside, people.
Absolutely.
I hate to say this, but we're not always right.
And tell your ego that. Remind your ego. It's not always right. Yeah.
It's not always about me, and I'm not always right. And what can I learn from somebody else? Because we can learn so much from other people. Agreed. And I know I've shared this, that I intentionally am an introvert, so I don't love seeking out talking to people. So I have to be intentional about it. And now I'm on this journey, because I've traveled a lot this year, is every Uber driver or whatever driver I have that's supporting me, I have a conversation. How long have you lived here? What got you into doing the driving? I have had some of the most incredible conversations. I've met some of the most incredible people with incredible stories. I would have missed that if I had been stubborn in my, nope, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm an introvert. I need my quiet time.
Now that I'm in the car, it's a great time for me to check email, return phone calls, whatever that is. Absolutely.
Because I didn't have enough time to do it on the plane for 3 hours.
Oh my gosh. I think another thing that you can do is really like embracing that opportunity, or embracing the understanding of change and uncertainty, right? I heard a quote earlier this year that, you know, if you're not willing or open to embrace change, you're perfectly positioning yourself for a future that no longer exists. And it blew my mind.
That's a powerful statement.
Absolutely. So you can stand strong in this. And I laugh about this, because there's a friend of ours that's in the real estate industry that has, I want to say that it's an original iPhone. And when I say original, I mean like the first gen. And so many of the features don't work because that operating system no longer updates. He is stubborn in the fact that he's not getting a new iPhone, because the one that he has makes phone calls just fine, but it doesn't receive text messages, or they're delayed by 24 hours or so. There are all of these challenges. The apps are not compatible, but in his mind, he needs a telephone. It works as a telephone. He has positioned himself for a future that no longer exists. He's living in it. But the pain is not enough for him to reflect until the thing actually just dies. I don't even think there are replacement parts for it any longer. But
probably
this
not.
Is where you, like, you've got to embrace change, right? Like, if you update it to another product, if you update your process, if you update a conviction that you have because you have new information, or the culture and the environment that you're in has shifted and changed, if management or leadership change, if you are the change in leadership, you've got to be open to any of that change and uncertainty with a, you've mentioned it, with a level of curiosity and respect that will create a platform for growth.
And there's no shaming. I mean, when we're asking ourselves, all right, am I being stubborn right now? And if I am, how is it negatively and positively impacting me?
Yeah.
And if the negative is outweighing the positive, then there probably needs to be some sort of change. And something that I am really passionate about is seek out other people to give you feedback and just ask them, hey, especially you're in a leadership position, go to somebody else on a leadership team. Am I being stubborn in this conviction right now? Or am I not thinking outside of the box? I need your help to identify that. Have somebody that is queued up to say, all right, Natalie, if you see me being stubborn about something, I want you to call me out on it, because we get it's so close to us. A lot of times we just miss it. And so sometimes we need that outside person to say, Pam, I think you might be stubborn.
Exactly. Exactly. Or even if I call these people your tribe, right? If your tribe, if there's a person in your tribal council that just poses that question, hey, can you tell me the opposite? Like, what's the opposing view on this? Right.
Yes.
And then if you can't sit or express that to that person, then you need to do some exploration so that you can, right? Because that means that you haven't created that space for you to grow and learn.
Agreed. I love that. And I think we've talked about it a lot is, you know, reflect on the past and what's gotten you where you are, but don't be stuck in the past.
Yeah.
Identify it, be in the present, and don't spend too much time in the future as well. Because if you're spending all your time in the past and the future, you're not living in the moment right now. And it could be keeping you stuck. And so that's kind of, that's all I have. Do we feel like we unpacked resilience versus stubbornness? Have we identified that we're both stubborn in certain things?
Oh, there are definitely areas that I'm stubborn, and it's okay. Even just as recently as 2 days ago, explored ways for me to look at things differently. I may have come back to the same conclusion, but I was still open-minded enough to go and explore it.
Yes, I love it.
But I think go ahead.
Who said, seek first to understand before you seek to be understood?
Before you seek to be understood,
So you seek to understand other people before we seek to be understood, which I love that. But what were you going to say? Sorry.
No, I was just thinking, like, as we talk about all of these different adversities and we talk about the various ways that you can be resilient in every area of your life, it's a constant reminder that this is personal work, right? Like, it's internal work that is going to ultimately impact your external world. So no one is, and let me take that back. That was a fixed mindset statement. I'm going to rephrase it. It is probably very unlikely for people to approach you and tell you, hey, Pam, you're being stubborn in this, just FYI, and walk away and leave that bomb on your lap for you to figure out yourself. So you have to do that internal reflection piece, right? If you find yourself with a lot of those qualities and attributes around stubbornness that we've shared with you today, it's not anyone else's job to bring that to your attention. It's your job to do the exploration part in the internal introspective work. And then you always have a choice. You choose. Do you want to do the work or do you not? And again, there's no judgment on that. You now have the tools to do better because you know better. If you choose to utilize that, great. If not, then we continue. We'll see you on the next episode.
All right. And then for those of you who do not have children and don't really know what we're talking about, kids having tantrums, I have a new puppy, and puppies are exactly the same. When they get stubborn and they don't want to come back in the house, they will dig their little paws in, and sometimes you just got to walk over, pick them up, and move them inside.
My gosh, I love it. So I feel that puppy videos on the social media have replaced kitty cat videos.
Oh, totally.
I love the puppy videos where the owners give the puppies treats and they literally spit them out back on the table or on the floor. I'm like, that when we talk about stubborn, that's what we're talking about.
Yes, we are. That's stubborn. That is not resilient. That is not resilient. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Another awesome topic, another fun episode. And I will have to point out that we are coming to the end of 2023.
Yes.
And so we'll be finishing up our first 6 months of podcast. Our community has grown. We feel so blessed and grateful that we are meeting new people. We're getting to interview people and that we're hopefully making a difference in people's lives. And we're both super excited about 2024 and new adventures that we're going to be taking. And so, stay tuned for more information, but thank you for showing up and thanks for being our fans and keep sharing this and growing our community so that we can hopefully make a little tiny dent in the world.
Absolutely. That ripple is what we're looking for. Yes,
that ripple effect. I love it.
Until next time, everyone, have an amazing day.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it, and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.